Jonathan.
We appreciate this opportunity being with you tonight. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord and get to see some faces I haven't seen for a while, and that's very good. We bring greetings from the Faith Baptist Church down in Jackson, and I know people are praying for me right now, and that's always a good thing. Tonight, if there be a sinner lost, somebody that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, whether you be a church member or not, are you saved? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? I'm going to address that through these next few days. And I don't want to take it lightly, but there's some things we need to talk about as Christians. There's things that we need to get back to as Christians. It's very important. And we need to go back to some of these things. Tonight we want to do a little internal reflection. And if you look with me in 2 Corinthians, appreciate the special singing. Always a blessing to hear those who sing for the Lord's honor and glory. We have very little time for those that like to entertain us, but we like to hear those that like to lift the Lord's name up. Amen. That is a big difference. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, let's look at the first two words here. Examine yourself. You can fool me, but you never can fool the Lord. And when we, tonight I want us to examine ourselves and see where we're at as far as our position between us and the Lord. How are we doing? How are we doing as individuals? How are we doing as citizens? How are we doing with our neighbors? Reflect on some of these things tonight. And you young people, you're just getting into it. You're just starting to enter into that realm. How you doing? There's only one guidebook that we can have, and that's right here. The Word of God. I know that you're going to hear lots of things from people. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a way of doing things. But then there's the right way, God's way, in the Word of God. So tonight, first of all, we want to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. If you would die right now, would you go to heaven or hell? Simple question. Would you go to heaven or hell? Hell is for all unbelievers. Hell is for all those that have rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I'd like to think everybody here is saved, but I don't know. And I've had, I remember one time I had a piano player, 17 years in the church, and one afternoon she came to my house and said, "Pastor, I need to be saved." That was a shock to all the church. Didn't seem to shock us a whole lot, but I believe every church member ought to be saved. And are you saved tonight? Do you know right now for sure this building would collapse? Would we all go to heaven? Or would there be some left behind? So I want us to examine ourselves and see whether or not we're of the faith. I want to look at that in twofold way, though. Are we in the faith? Thus saith the Word of God. Not just the faith in Jesus Christ, but the faith in everything He said. Everything that He has told us to do. Are we in the faith? And so that's very important. There's going to be much things that are said dealing with the truth. If we don't have the truth, we don't have what is necessary. And if we don't have the truth for our salvation, if you don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures, you have nothing. You can't add to the gospel. You can't take away from the gospel. You must believe the gospel according to the Scriptures. Amen. Might seem like a light thing to you. But then he says, prove your own self. Have we in the witness of the Spirit that we have within us? The Bible says, greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Do you have the Holy Spirit within you, convincing you and leading you, guiding you in this life? Prove your own self. See whether or not you're in the faith. Secondly, prove yourself whether you're not in the faith.
Amen.
according to the Word of God. Are you a Baptist? Are you a scriptural Baptist? There's a big difference. Are you one that practices what is preached? Hopefully the preachers practice it starting with.
Amen.
I haven't found out a good reason why you haven't been here, brother. I'm sorry. I was thinking of some nice little comment to make. I just can't make an excuse right now. But we need to be under the preaching. You can't stay home on Wednesday. Wednesday's your normal night?
Yes.
You can't stay home on Wednesday. You need a fill-up. You have to be here Sunday, and Sunday night, you need the fill-up. You say, well, I'm so busy, I got this happening and that happening. Get rid of it. Just eliminate that from your life. You say, but it's so important to my kids. Now, wait a minute. The Scripture says, know your own selves. Prove your own selves. Are you in the faith? Are you following? Listen, children, you ought to follow what's in Thus Saith the Lord if your parents didn't. Even if they didn't. If everybody in the world didn't, you still should follow what the Word of God says. There's going to come a day, how many of us think we're there? Where they're saying good is bad and bad is good. People today are being removed from the faith and they don't even know it.
Right.
That's scary to me. They don't know their Bibles. Let me challenge you with that. Think about going from last service, well, that probably yesterday, if you had services, I don't know if you did, didn't have it. All right, so you played hooky yesterday. You still should have had it at home. And at the very least, pray about it. And pray for the good of everybody in the church. Hopefully you were praying for me. I need all the prayers I can get. But from Sunday to Sunday, have we been in the Word of God? Or has that television gotten away? Or we're living in a day today, and I'm sorry, I'm not up to all these things. You're going to have to explain them. I don't know about all these games. And quite frankly, I don't like all those games. And I'm going to tell you a reason why. And not meaning any of them are bad that you're doing. I don't know. I don't know anything about them. But I know one thing they do. They're a time-consuming thing. Now, I'm going to touch on some ground that you're not going to like. Sorry. Facebook. It takes more time than you have with the Lord. You're doing something wrong. You say, oh, I don't agree with that. Who do you love more? Man, Lord, help us from all those other games. And some of those games, I mean, you can get addicted to. And there are people addicted to them. They just 24/7. You know, and if I wake up and I can't sleep and I turn something on and somebody's on there, at best, I read the... You know what I do a lot of times, Barbie? I look at pictures. Guess who I look at? You or your kids. I like to see those smiling faces. Listen. We got to examine ourselves. You can't have a revival meeting and a revival within yourself except to be revived in the Word. I can't bring a revival. Only the Lord can bring a revival. But He shows us the way. And the way is doing it God's way. You say, well, I'm going to save up all my energy for these services and I'm going to really get into it. That's not how revival comes. Revival comes from when you prepare yourself all the time. 365. That's when a real revival starts. Okay, let's examine ourselves just a little further. How about talking to somebody about Jesus? Are we talking to somebody about Jesus any chance we get? I hope so. I've said this in our church many times. If you bring one person into church in a year's time, just one person yourself, and they were saved by God's grace, Lord added them to the church, just think of the number difference in the church. If you just brought one. Now, the Lord tells us to go out and compel them, but He's the one that's got to call them. He's the one that's got to draw them. He's the one that's got to save them. But we have our duty. Now, this is the way I've seen it over and over again. I go knocking on a door, and at our church, we knock on all the doors in one town on a Saturday. That's how we do it. We don't mess around. We talk to everybody and anybody we can. We had a couple of families. Last time we did a town, and we had a couple of families start coming, but they came and left. The Lord always brings somebody else in. It's usually that way for me. I can talk to all kinds of people, invite them to church, and the Lord brings somebody else in. That's God's way. I mean, He can bless you, and I hope He does. I hope He brings everybody you talk to in the church. I've never seen that myself. I've always seen somebody else. That way God gets the glory. But I want to ask you, how are we doing? If we're going to look at ourselves and see where we stand spiritually, and this is what we're doing tonight, how do we stand spiritually? Well, you get to a certain age and you start looking at those girls. Well, that takes a lot of your time. Your mind's elsewhere. Doesn't work just that way, does it, girls? You know, girls get to a certain age, they start looking at those good-looking guys. Takes a lot of time. And before anybody says, oh, no, no, nobody's exempt. Nobody's exempt. Where's our minds? Where's our hearts? And I'm going to go ahead and say it and get it over with. I have to say it everywhere I go. You young men, you need to be a virgin when you get married. Period. You young ladies, you need to be a virgin when you get married. Period. I have to say that everywhere I go. Because we're seeing so many people thinking, and this is so erroneous, you will never change his mind about going to church or anything else after the fact. You'll never do it. It doesn't work that way. Make sure they're saved. Make sure you're married honorably. And then all those other things come. And that's of God. So parents, how are we doing in that classification? How are we doing about that? How are we directing our children? Very important. So we're examining ourselves. We're seeing where we're at. And prove your own selves to see if you're in the faith. I've learned a few things. I usually learn it the wrong way and then learn it the right way from my mistakes. But I found out if I do it this way first, it eliminates a lot of problems. It's when I think and I go and do this and that is when I get in trouble. But when I go to the Word of God and I start to examine myself compared to the Word of God, I have to say, woe is me. And then I start looking at things differently. How are you doing in that? Let's look at this tonight. Look with me in John chapter 3. The book of John, let me read the rest of that scripture before I leave it. Know ye not your own selves that how that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobates. That word reprobate means worthless. Except to be worthless. In a spiritual condition, you would be worthless if you don't know Jesus. Because you cannot understand spiritual things unless you know Jesus. All right, let's go a little further. In the book of John, chapter 3. I have to catch up with you here. In the book of John, chapter 3. In John, chapter 3. Let's just go ahead and read about Nicodemus here just a little bit. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I've said unto thee, ye must be born again. One of the things that I've noticed when you start examining yourselves, you start seeing you've had a life-changing event in your life. You've been born again. And it's a miracle. For me, before I was saved, I didn't want to go to church. I could care less. And don't bother me with that. But you know when the Lord saved me? He changed me. It wasn't turning over a new leaf. He put something within me that never went away. It's called the Spirit of God. And I was born of the Spirit. See, in this, it's talking about that which is born of water, and that's the flesh. If you think about it, you're surrounded with water in your mother's womb. And also that which is spirit is spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit makes you alive. You become a new creature. You're born again. And the Bible says that old things pass away and behold, all things become new. That's a life-changing thing that happens in your life, a great event that happens in your life. But there's many people today that say they're saved and you don't see any evidence. We need to cry out and say, now examine yourselves. Are you really saved? I got some family and they say they're saved, but you would never know it. There's no spirit bearing witness with our spirit. There's no evidence of salvation. So I want to ask ourselves tonight. Let's look inside. Have we had an experience with Jesus Christ? There's many that's going to call upon the name of the Lord one day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done? Haven't we done many wonderful things? Miraculous things. Did you notice the healings, the miracles, the things that they could do? Preaching, prophesying? You can be very religious and be lost. There's a lot of folks today that try to be religious when it suits them. Some people get work by their religion. Some people keep their work by their religion. But when you're born again, something happens within you. I don't worry about the outside a whole lot. Let God take care of that. I want to try to get to your point of your heart and see where we really live. Have you been born again? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians because I want to get it right. And this is a must. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You'll find that none of these scriptures that I'm using will be new to you. I hope they aren't. He's talking about Christ in the 16th verse. And also the 17th verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, you've trusted in him, you're depending on him, you are in him. He is, present tense, a new creature. You're not working your way up to it. You're not trying to reach or obtain it. If you're saved, you have it. You are, present tense, right now, a new creature. And parents, when your little child says that they're a sinner, and they trust Jesus as their Savior, you should see proof of their salvation. You say, but they're a little child. Same thing happened to me. I had to become a little child to be saved. I had to depend on the Lord for everything. That's what had me puzzled. And I depended on the Lord one day as a little child. He had to do everything for me. And I depended on Him. And that's when I was saved. But there's many today, they've never seen this evidence in their life of being a new creature. And that's creation. Something that's been made of God. You once were some of these things, but now you've been washed by the blood. Now you have a different life. We got to get back to a word that we don't hear very much. It's called repentance. The Bible teaches us to repent or perish. When's the last time that you truly repented of something? How about in a church service? Now, repentance is not saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Repentance is if you are walking this way, you repented of it, you turned around, and you're walking a different direction. Repentance. You're turning from something, not to it. Jesus did not save His children in their sins. He saved them from their sins.
Amen.
So when you see and you're examining yourselves, you got to realize if you are in Christ, you are right now a new creature. You've been born again. But how about repentance? So many pet sins. Now, don't look at me like that and say you don't know what I'm talking about. That pet sin is that which you can't get rid of. You just hang on to that thing. You stroke it, you pet it, you want it to be around, and you just don't want it to leave. It could be that tongue. It could be these eyes that look at things they shouldn't look at. These ears that hear things they shouldn't hear. And you just can't repent of it. You can't turn from it. How about you right now? They get pretty serious, some of these things. Look with me in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to begin with where we're living, of course. Let's see where we're at. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 And notice in verse 9. I want to make a comment and I want to see how you answer it to yourself. Can a homosexual be saved? Can an alcoholic, a drunkard, be saved? Well, absolutely. But they won't stay in it. Let's read the scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know you not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, those having sex without marriage, fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, sitting all around there, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They won't enter into the kingdom of God. They don't inherit the kingdom of God. But notice, and such were some of you, and such were some of us. Even though that you might not have been as bad as you could have been, you were as bad as you needed to be a sinner. We're not all Hitlers. We're not all terrible thugs, but we all have sin that keeps us from going to heaven. Notice, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, set apart, but you are justified or made innocent in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Listen. People with the terrible sins in their life can be saved. And I'm so thankful for that. If that wasn't in the Bible, I'd be in terrible shape. I was in the service for 4 years. I've seen the other side of the world and a lot of things in between. And I know what sin is. People look at me sometimes and say, well, where did you ever sin? What do you know about it? What don't I know about it? I wasn't saved until I was 27. A lot of water under the bridge in that time. So don't think that I don't understand what you're thinking and why you're thinking what you're thinking and why you do some of the things you do. I do know. But I also know that you can throw a carton of cigarettes away, throw it in a burn barrel in one day's time after you're saved and give it up. That's what I did, by God's grace. Jan had a most terrible temper. Boy, is that an understatement. Terrible temper. But you know what? It took her a while. Bit her lip a few times. But the Lord gave her grace. That's a victory. That's a victory. If you have an alcohol problem and you say you're saved by God's grace, repent of it. You have a drug problem, alcohol problem, tobacco problem. You say, well, cigarettes can... A Christian can have a cigarette. They could. But your bodies, got to take care of them. Unfortunately, I can't talk too long on that because of my weight and everything. But we have to take care of ourselves. And there are certain things that God can give you the great grace. We all got it. Do we use it? Notice what it says. We once were some of these things, but we went away from them by God's grace. So we have to examine ourselves. Did that take place in our life? I want to look at another scripture in Philippians chapter 3 or chapter 2. And verse 12. I was pastoring a fair-sized church down in West Virginia. And, I mean, I'd hear amens and carry-ons and everything in the church. And a lot of the women, you know, and their doings and everything, they look prim and proper. And I'd go down to the grocery store, and they might have a pair of breeches on or shorts or something, you know, that they wouldn't wear to church. And they would do their best to hide from me. I wouldn't go down there to find out or anything. I didn't know. They were just there. They probably thought I was stalking them to see what they're wearing. So I wouldn't do it anyway. But that really gave them problems. Now, why would that bother a Christian? Do you get bothered when certain things you do and you shouldn't do them and somebody might see you? I want to submit to you there's a lot of Christians today that can't even blush over sin. Some of the things that we watch on the television, we have no business watching. And I'll say that's inclusive of anybody who's got a TV. We shouldn't be watching. And quite frankly, I know that there, my grandson, he plays some of those games on there, and I didn't know what he was playing until I downloaded everything, took it off my... he had it completely packed. I couldn't even get the thing to start. And so I had the abilities of taking everything off there, and I can't tell you, he had a tremendous amount of stuff. And I noticed some titles, I didn't go into them, but a lot of it was blood and gore and shooting somebody, and you know, back when we were kids and we had our little plastic soldiers and all that kind of stuff. But the graphics that they have today, and if you think it's bad now, I couldn't watch Private Ryan, Saving Private Ryan. I could not watch it. I've seen too many body bags. I couldn't watch that show. But there's some, I don't even know what they're, games or what you want to call them, that are on that you have no business watching. Where do you think people get the crazy ideas they get sometimes? And everybody's playing it. Something to think about. We need to examine ourselves and see, shouldn't we be doing some of those things? Shouldn't we be investing our time and wasting our time that way? Or should we get back to the Lord? So this is a good introspect. Let's look inside and see. The things that we're doing, would it be God honoring? Would Jesus do it? Could you take Jesus there? Or better, you know, the saying they had for a while there, what would Jesus do? Would he do what you're doing? What all of us are doing. We need to look and see. Let me turn to a scripture here, cross my mind here. The book of Matthew, chapter 24. And I realize that there's many scriptures. If you hear me preach, you're not going to hear a whole lot of new. But I want you to understand some simple things here tonight. Sin doesn't come out in a great big, wham, it's got you. That's not normal sin. I mean, every once in a while, you young men, that most beautiful girl walks by or something might really grab your attention real quick. I got to say it. I can't help it. You know some of the jewelry that women wear and men? I know it. It's terrible. But I got to say it. Brother Keith, we could use that fishing. They make good lures. What do you suppose the women wear them for and the men wear them for? Lures. They're trying to be attractive. Would you wear that in front of Jesus? When you have clothing on that you don't cover everything up like you should cover it up, would you do that in front of Jesus? This is not the end of it. This is just the beginning of what we're seeing is happening. And this week you're going to hear a lot of this kind of stuff. Amen. Because we need it.
Amen.
I'm not speaking from a high horse or anything looking down on you. I'm saying I need it too. And you young men, there's nothing wrong of you looking at a beautiful girl. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's natural. That's normal. We have a lot of beautiful ladies in here tonight. And I'm going to say all of them. Okay? Okay? There's nothing wrong for looking at beautiful ladies. Ladies, there's nothing wrong of looking at a handsome man. But when you start thinking about what you want to do with that person, then you're in trouble. You've entered into temptation. So don't be a Puritan to the point that you can't look and enjoy the beauty of this world that the Lord's placed. Like if you've seen a beautiful horse when you look at it, you've seen a beautiful tree, a beautiful scene. We came over the hill and beautiful frigid water. You know what we've seen, but it was beautiful. I say this with all sincerity, seriously. In 24th chapter of Matthew, in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There's going to be some TV preachers, there's going to be people that you know, some relatives that say, well, that's all right. You know, if you're at the beach, you can wear anything you want to. That's not true. You're still in front of the Lord wherever you go. You don't get away from him. That's situational ethics. That's wrong. We ought to dress like we're before the Lord all the time. I'm a little bit envious of Brother Graver tonight. I admit it. He's not wearing a tie.
It won't happen again,
though. I thought I had a license. Okay. But notice the scripture here. There's going to be many come along and they're going to deceive many. And there's people are going to hear some things and they're saying, well, everybody down the street does it. Well, our preacher says it's okay. And the preacher goes by and he's short, bareback, maybe smoking a cigarette and driving down to the beach. The preacher does. Seen that one time. He's a Baptist, too. Our kind of Baptist. Yeah, right. Okay. But I want you to see how it happens. Because iniquity shall abound. Iniquity is evil desires or designs. When you think of iniquity. Don't we see that every commercial on television? You can't buy some shaving cream unless you see some sexy woman trying to sell it or whatever. Isn't that what we see all the time, all around us? Some of the commercials on billboards going to the Detroit area. I haven't been there in a long time. Maybe they're not there. Maybe they all burnt down or something by now. Not a chance. All right. Look at this. Because iniquity shall abound. You cannot take fire into your bosom without getting burnt. If you're around evil desires, evil ways, evil TV shows, evil magazines, evil books, evil people, what's going to happen? It'll abound and it'll abound and your ears will start getting dulled. Your eyes will get dulled. And notice what happens. And the love of many shall wax cold. Now understand the word wax here. I can say this. I've seen it before. I've never done it myself. When you wax a surfboard, you put on skis the same way, I believe. Somebody's skis. Ski, you put a very thin coat of wax on. Buff it out, put another thin coat of wax on. Buff it out, put another. If you're in the service, you've been putting a shiner shoe, same way. And you're layering it, and they just keep adding. And notice, many shall wax cold. It starts with a little bit, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. It's not that they suddenly are cold, it's suddenly they cease to stop from being cold, and they keep on going. And it keeps growing. You're going to have people say to you, oh, everybody's doing it. That should tell you not to do it, right there. If the whole world's loving it, they're all wearing certain kind of clothes, certain kind of shoes, usually that's a pretty good indication. Stay away from it. Let's go just a little further. Look with me in the book of John again. The book of John, chapter 3. I want us to examine ourselves. This is the evening of looking to ourselves. You can look at me and find plenty of bad things. That's a given. But I want you to look at ourselves, every one of us. Look to ourselves and see where we really live. Are we a real true believer in Jesus Christ? I want to show you reality now. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I want to relate something to you. There's many people that are going to miss heaven by a short little distance. I've told you before, I'm sure, about the bridge. You know, build a bridge. I'll say it anyway. I like that story. I'll pick on Chris tonight. Me and Chris are going to build a bridge across the river. If you heard it before, just plug your ears for a second. And we take all kinds of scraps. Sam brings us all kinds of scraps of wood. And we get a little string. We get a little wire. We get a few nails. And we're going to build a bridge. And right now I can't think of one right up here. But we're going to build a bridge across the river. All right, it looks kind of rickety. And it looks kind of wobbly. But we build a bridge and we get it all the way to the other side. We're proud of ourselves, Sam and me and Chris. We're just looking at that bridge. And Melissa comes along. And we tell her, Melissa, you can get across the other side. Just take our bridge. We're just so proud of that bridge. She says, well, I believe you, but I think I'll just stay right here. Sister Jenny comes by. We tell her the same thing. We're proud of our bridge. If you take our bridge, you can get the other side. And Jenny says, okay. So she gets on the bridge and she walks to the other side. Two people said they believed, but only one got to the other side. Why is that? Because they trusted in something. You might be believing right now, and the angels believe and tremble. But you got to trust that Jesus Christ is your only hope, your only way of eternal life. You got to trust Him as the sole support to hold you up. And as that rickly old bridge helped Sister Jenny across, she made it by faith. It certainly wasn't by our work. It was by faith. All right, the same way with your faith in Jesus. The world will tell you you need everything else in the world. But Jesus says, I am the way. No other way but me. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You have to trust in Jesus. So tonight, if you look within yourself and you find yourself, I just don't know, preacher, if I'm saved or not. Well, you can be saved right now if you know that you're a sinner. You say, preacher, how do you know who the elect are? All those that believe. How I know. And I know all that were ordained to eternal life will believe. So we'll get that out of the way. If you want to believe in Jesus Christ as your only hope right now, mother, dad, children, all of us, do you know right now that you're saved? You can't just believe it with your mind. You've got to believe it with all your heart and all your soul and trust it as your only hope of getting to the other side. How about you right now, brother?